RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Pacific Northwest correspondent is Neil Potter. Neil and his family of four are based out of Portland, Oregon. Neil is a lifetime camper and new RV owner who loves to travel with his wife, Melissa, his two kids, Kennedy, age 7, and Grayson, age 2, and their golden doodle, Bella, in their Jayco 23 BHM. Neil is also a business analyst and a musician who plays guitar and piano and loves all things Dave Matthews. Welcome to the show, Neil.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you having me on again.
Oh, it is our pleasure. We're so excited to get another campground from one of our very favorite camping
states. Wait, this is Neil's debut.
It is.
On Campground of the Week.
Do you want music or something in the background? I didn't have anything queued up.
Well, your gift pack is on its way.
Yeah, it's in the mail right now. This is so exciting. We are happy to have you back on. You were a real favorite on RVFTA when you were over there on our other podcast.
The RV newbie episode was hot.
Oh, please, please.
Very popular stuff.
I don't want to hear it, but you can be more specific.
But keep going, right? All right. So we dragged you back to the podcast kicking and screaming, and we said that you're out there in Oregon and you better get camping and you better report back to us. And the first campground that you are going to review for us is the KOA in Astoria, Oregon. But before we hear all about that campground, we want to thank our sponsor, Yogi Bear Jellystone Camp Resorts. The award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories, and now is the perfect time to book your stay for your first spring or summer camping trip. From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds. And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is close to home. Visit campjellystone.com and find a park near you.
All right, Neil, break this down for us and give us the location of the Astoria Warrenton Seaside KOA.
Yeah, they kind of lumped together a bunch of small beach towns in the name, but it's really Astoria. Astoria is the most northwestern beach town that you're going to run into before you cross over the Columbia River up into Washington, right? So if you're doing the whole 101 tour of all the little beach towns in Oregon, this is going to be the one that's the most furthest north. So 2 hours northwest of Portland, just 30 minutes north of Cannon Beach, which is a really popular stop, 3.5 hours southwest of Seattle. So really easy to get to if you're up in this area and a pretty popular spot.
Now, Neil, you forgot the most important part. In your notes here, it says that it's 45 hours from New Jersey.
That was a little joke for you. I thought that you would appreciate that. But just for planning purposes, it's 45 hours east of New Jersey.
Which will be, I don't know, 85 hours for us if we're driving across country towing with our kids in the toy hauler. All right.
Right.
Okay. So, Neil, just tell us a little bit about the size of the campground and, you know, what we're going to find when we show up.
Yeah, so you know, when I was putting together this review, I've got the map out, and I was counting out all the spots. And quite honestly, I was counting out a couple hundred sites, quite honestly. I mean, I've got 200 RV spots here. There was maybe 100 cabins. And it felt like when I camped there, it didn't feel massive like that. They had all kinds of stuff to do, but it didn't have that overly commercialized, managed feel that I would expect when I see something like 200 RV sites. Now, we were there off season, so we were there in September, so they didn't have every single spot open. But yeah, that's basically what I've got. Is I've got 200 RV sites, 100 cabins. They've got a few tent sites. It seems like they're really more catering to the RVs and the cabins, though.
You know what? It's really in the landscaping a lot of the time and the setup in a campground, whether it feels like a city or whether, you know, they really manage the size well. So it's nice to hear that it didn't feel overwhelmingly big. Now, what about the individual sites themselves? What do you find there?
Yeah. So to your point, they sort of break out sections of the campground and almost into scenes. And I found this when I was online booking the site. It's, hey, do you want to be under the trees? Or do you not want to be under the trees? And I think that because they've sort of broken it out in these different scenes, it feels a lot smaller. Like each little area, each little section, it almost feels like its own little campground. So, but it has everything, you know, full hookups with cable. Half of them are paved. You can get ones that aren't paved. They even have sites that'll accommodate up to a 90-foot unit, which I thought was pretty impressive. Picnic tables, fire pits. Like I said, in the trees or out of the trees, and that's important, especially in Oregon. During the summer, you're probably going to want to be under the trees, whereas during the winter, you know, it doesn't hurt to get a little sun. So if you can get out from under the trees, it might be nice. But I saw that there was deluxe RV spots, which even have gas grills, patio furniture, cedar log swings. It was pretty upscale, quite honestly.
And the sizes of the sites were not too stacked up or too small. It's reasonably sized.
Yeah. So they had all of it. Yeah, they had all of it. I mean, when I first got to the campground, they actually had me, and I'll get to this in a couple minutes, but they had me in the wrong spot, and it was a tiny spot. You know, somebody who maybe has a Jeep and they're pulling a pop-up or something would fit great in one of those spots. Mine's a 23-foot unit, and it felt great. I didn't feel cramped, but again, I will point out that it wasn't season, right? So if it were season, it would be more noticeable, but I think that they were appropriately spaced out.
All right, let's talk price range and ease of booking. Is this a campground that you have to book way in advance, and how much is it going to cost us?
Okay, so I don't know. I paid $59 a night. There's a resort fee of $10 per night. That's going to be right in the middle of season. I felt like when I was paying the $10 per night that it felt a little extreme until I got there. I got to tell you guys, this place has every single thing I could ever imagine to keep my kids entertained. And I talked to the manager on my way out, and I told him, I said, hey, I'll be honest, the $10 resort fee felt a little odd, paying a resort fee, quote unquote, on a campground. Until you get there, and then you're like, yeah, I'll pay $10 resort fee every day because the stuff is clean. They've got a whole new putt-putt golf area. It's just very, very well maintained, and you can see where that resort fee goes.
Well, let's dive into those amenities.
Yeah.
This campground, I was looking through the pictures before we got on air here,
yep.
And this campground offers a lot. Tell us more.
Okay, so we happened to be there in September, and it was rainy and pretty chilly, and I was kind of bummed out. I was assuming that we weren't going to be able to do much, but they have it covered, quite honestly. I mean, they've got an indoor pool, which is really exciting. They have an outdoor pool as well, but it was closed for the season. But their indoor pool is really nice. It's also heated. There's a jacuzzi in there. The list really goes on and on. I mean, from the playgrounds, multiple playgrounds, horseshoes, there's a what are the bouncing
the jumping pillow? Did your kids spend some time on the jumping pillow?
Oh, they all over. Yeah. And, you know, they got all muddy and wet, and but they didn't care, you know, because it's just – it's a lot of fun. It was the first time I had seen one of those jumping pillows. I think I've heard you guys say in the podcast that you've seen those before. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, quite a few times. Our kids have pretty much been raised on jumping pillows. So it's really interesting, Neil. It sounds to me like this was your first experience with what we talk about a lot on this podcast, which is a resort campground. And this was your kids' first experience with this.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I grew up on state parks, and so there's a huge, huge difference between state parks and KOAs. And you know what? I'll be honest and say that I don't know if this KOA has more amenities than that other KOAs. You guys would know better than I would. But I was really blown away. Volleyball courts, all these planned activities, and you know what they had that I thought was really cool was the giant lawn chess and the checkers set. Mm. It was just cool. My kids. That even though they don't know how to play chess, but you know, I mean, it was still really fun for them to play the checkers and the chess, and plus all of the stuff is just sitting out and ready to use, you know. So when you go to the basketball court, you don't have to go check out a ball. There's just balls sitting there ready to go, and it's all just, you know, I don't know. I thought it was extremely exciting as a parent to be able to say, hey guys, go have fun, and they really did.
Sounds like Neil Potter might find his way back to a resort-style campground in the future.
Yeah, I already have this one booked in a couple of months, actually.
Oh, so it really did get a 2 thumbs up, but it probably really brought smiles to your kids' face. And I think hearing you describe this, I think Jeremy and I have really experienced this, where your kids are just having so much fun. You're like, this is awesome. Like, yeah, I might love a chair out in the middle of nowhere, you know, by a campfire in a state park, but my kids are digging this, you know?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I will tell you that if I didn't have kids, I don't know if this campground would be for me. It seems like for me, I would be more looking for the quiet areas, the state parks, things like that. This is a family-oriented place, and it's really important for people like me who have kids at the age that they are. And so, anyway, that's my 2 cents.
All right, talk to us about the Wi-Fi, the important stuff, right? Because God forbid we should unplug.
right. Yeah. You know, I didn't have any issues. Same with self-service. You know, I took a call, a work call while I was out there and didn't feel nervous about it at all. It all worked pretty well. I'd say that worked as
expected.
Tell
your boss to leave you alone when you're camping, Neil.
I'm camping.
It's a conversation we all have to have with our employers.
All right. So let's give the insider details. You were here. You said you booked again. So what kind of, you know, information did you use when booking that second time, you know, that you learned your lesson the first time?
Right. So we were under the trees in the winter, and every time that the sun would poke out a little bit, we didn't get to enjoy any of that because we were underneath the trees. So you know, depending on the time of the year, you're going to want to either be, like I said, either under the trees or out in the open. Plus, you know, the first time that we booked it, the adult in me said, I don't want to be near the playground. I want to be farther away. That was dumb. I should have been closer to the playground because, I mean, let's be honest, you want to be able to see your kids playing and stuff and not have to feel like you have to stand there and babysit them the whole time. It's nice if you can go back to the RV and prep some stuff, poke your head out the door from time to time. And so we did that this time around. I'm closer to the fun zone, which is what they call
the fun zone. There is a brief window of time in family camping where it is really great to be right next to the playground. And then as soon as your kids are old enough to self-monitor, you can start to move back away from it, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, haven't gotten there yet, so... I'm at the point where I want to get closer.
All right, Neil, nobody's perfect, and you alluded to this before. I mean, what could be improved here, if anything?
So I found it just – and maybe this was a miscommunication when I first checked in. But when you book the site, you tell them how big your RV is. I have a 23-foot RV travel trailer, and when I got there, they checked me into my spot, and I drove out there. And it was a literally 24-foot spot, so there's one extra foot where my Tundra had to fit essentially, right? So, and it felt like, you know, if it were season, I understand that they want to try and maximize every single space, but this was out of season, and I basically just called them and I said, guys, I'm going to pick any spot that I'd like, and they said, yeah, go ahead and do that. So it felt like there was a little bit of a miscommunication there. Maybe they had somebody new who was taking the reservations or something. I'm not really sure, but they definitely followed the rules when I said that I have a 23 foot unit. They said, great, you get a 24 foot spot then.
Well,
so,
great lesson learned there, Neil. I mean, if there's other spots available and you're unhappy with yours, at least go ask, right? Don't just assume you can't get onto another site.
Yeah, totally. I mean, again, it's not like, you know, they weren't doing that maliciously. My guess is that it was just a mix-up. They saw the number 23 and thought, oh, okay, great, let's give them a 24. But I wouldn't have had room for my truck either. So I don't know. I really had to dig for that. And that's not even a negative about this campground. It was really just the check-in process.
Okay, but they solved the problem. So that's
solved
good.
It.
So
yeah.
Thank you so much for that review of the KOA in Astoria, Warrington, Seaside, right? Oregon.
And it's actually in Hammond, Oregon, according to the
For crying all night. All right. We are going to be back in a minute, and we're going to hear all about the activities to do around this campground. Stay tuned.
Neil's going to take us to the beach.
Stay tuned.
Since 1968, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together.
Today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger 2-year warranty.
Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. Lots of family fun is to be had around a campfire with a Jayco nearby.
For more information, visit your closest Jayco dealer or jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are excited to be here with Neil Potter, and he just gave us a great review of the Astoria Warrington Seaside KOA in Hammond, Oregon. And now he's going to tell us all about some cool things to do in the area. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Progressive Insurance.
You can get the perfect amount of coverage wherever you roam with packages available for full-time and seasonal use. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info today. And I think I could take a seasonal at this site up there near the beach in Oregon. So
for Neil to take us to the beach. I'm just dying to know what the beaches are like in the Oregon area.
Yeah. So the thing that's really exciting about this campground is that it's across the street from Fort Stevens State Park. So take some time and go do some research on Fort Stevens State Park. You've probably seen a very famous picture that comes out of Fort Stevens State Park, and it's the shipwreck of the Peter Iredale. It's an old ship that ran ashore in 1906, and it's been on the beach ever since, and it just has been withering away. And it's a really popular photo opportunity. So check that out online. I'll bet you've noticed it before, but it's a really interesting long beach, right? It's a very, very long beach. It's a pretty popular beach. Again, though, we were there off season, so it wasn't super busy at the beach. We spent the majority of our time there at the KOA. Now, we did drive around Astoria. There's some pretty cool things to do in Astoria. But I don't want to come off of Fort Stevens State Park yet, because if you're into history, this is a neat park to visit. It was built during the Civil War period. Apparently, there are still these abandoned gun batteries that you can explore, and there's these I don't know if they're underground, but they're these tunnels that you can go around and stuff. But, you know, fort ruins, which kids, you know, it's exciting. Kids and adults love that kind of stuff. It's neat to check that out.
Max and Thea would be running around like crazy here.
We'd have to take a picture at every cannon, and that's what they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
They love the forts. We're big, and we're in our fort stage.
I thought there was only history on the East Coast, Neil.
No,
I'm surprised that you guys also have history.
Yes, they do too. We'll grant them that. All right. Any other history to explore here?
So that's the state park, but I know that Astoria itself has a good bit of history. It's a really neat beach town to explore. They've got some great breweries in there. We stopped by, there's a Fort George brewery that we stopped in there. But also, you know, Lewis and Clark Expedition cut right up through here, and there's a lot of history in the area. There's a national memorial, the Fort Clatsop National Memorial, and you can go to the memorial and read all about the there's 33 members of the expedition who were there for about a year. But it's really neat. The whole Lewis and Clark Expedition has a lot of roots here in this area. It's a lot of things are named after it out here and stuff. So it's exciting to get into that. Plus, there's whale season. You can go see all the migrating whales. There's
and when is whale season? Like, when would you go to see that?
Yeah, you would think that I would have researched that before I came on this.
But we ask the tough questions, Neil.
We're going to link in the show notes to when whale season is.
I'll find that.
We'll answer the question in the show notes.
I'm going to Google that. Yeah. When's whale season?
I do know that it's typically wintertime because we stayed out at the coast a couple months ago and the whales were out. So I'm gonna say around wintertime. Wish I hadn't said that because I'm probably gonna be wrong. Now
you've mentioned that you were there in the off season in September, and you've also just mentioned then the winter. When do you feel like is the perfect time if you really want to capture that like summer feel on the beach? Is that July or August?
Either or. What's really interesting about the Pacific Northwest is that the summer beach days are one day they could be completely rainy and cloudy, and then the next day just completely beautiful. And it's like that year round. That nobody relies on the weather reports for the coast out here. Quite honestly, we don't even call it the beach; we call it the coast because it's really just hit or miss. But you know what? If you're going to be out here in the summer, you're going to have a really great time out at the beach. I mean, even if it's raining, it's not like East Coast rain. The rain that's out here is completely different. It's very doable. Even if it's a little gray, it's not that big of a deal. There's just so much to do out here. So
throw on the rain gear and still go out for a hike or a walk or collecting seashells or whatever it may be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even just, you know, especially for those of you and even me who are from the East Coast, the whole 101 drive is like nothing on the East Coast. It's totally different, right? So, I mean, even if it's raining and you have to drive down 101 and sightsee, that's not bad at all.
There's worse ways to spend a day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So speaking of spending a day, what other kinds of activities are there to do in this area?
So there's a column. It's called the Astoria Column. It's 125 foot tall. You can climb up inside of this column, 164 steps to get up to the top of this column, and really great place to take pictures. The column has a bunch of scenes from the Pacific Northwest painted all over it. So that's a really popular thing to do. Plus, this is just sort of an interesting piece of architecture. There's a bridge that crosses the Columbia River and takes you from Oregon into Washington. It's called the Astoria-Megler Bridge, and it's also a pretty popular photographed bridge just because of how big it is, quite honestly. It's 4 miles long, but just sort of a fun bridge. It's one of those bridges, though, that when you drive over it, your palms are kind of sweaty because it's, you know, you're way up there. But it's a really pretty sight to see.
All right. Anything else that we want to catch when we're visiting this really awesome kind of beachside area in Oregon?
I'd say give me a ring and I'll meet up with you for a beer out at Fort George Brewery.
When you said craft beer before, Stephanie's eyes sparkled.
Well, you know, you take a drive on 101 on a rainy day. You know, you see the sights, you get out, you explore the coast, and then you go and you have a beer. And what better way is there to spend a day in the Pacific Northwest? Seriously, I love it out there. So everything that you're saying, it just gets you right into the mood for that. Now, you know, it sounds to me like if you're visiting this campground, you need to schedule some time for campground time and schedule some time for exploring the area. You know, like you don't want to just do one or the other. You might be disappointed to not be able to experience all of that.
Totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, people are naturally going to do that anyway. The area, just getting out to it, you have to drive through some really neat areas. You're going to want to go check that stuff out.
All right, great. A big thank you to Neil Potter for reviewing the Astoria Warrenton Seaside KOA in Hammond, Oregon. And a big thank you to Jayco for sponsoring Campground of the Week and Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and to Progressive Insurance.
Did you know that adding your RV insurance with another Progressive policy like auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save money when you're out there seeing the sights? Start saving today. Head over to progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
And Neil Potter, where can we find you if anyone's looking to find more about your adventures?
Yeah, I find myself on Instagram most places. So the real Neil Potter, you can find me on Instagram. So check me out. Follow my family. Hey, one other quick thing that I forgot to mention and I wanted to point out is that The Goonies was filmed out in Astoria.
And you I'm so glad you just remembered.
Yeah.
Bonus content.
Yeah, that's right. This is the bonus content. And you can actually go to the house where the kids lived. It's a privately owned residence, but they have a sign up that says that you're allowed to park your car and walk up and have your picture taken in front of their house, but they ask if you if you just be quiet and everything. But anyway, so you'll see a lot of the landscape from Goonies out in Astoria, all the really rocky, when they were holding up that coin up to the coasts and pairing it up with the rocks and stuff. Yeah, that's all out
here.
One
of my favorite movies when I was younger, and I still love it.
I can picture that house in my head like perfectly. That whole opening scene.
And I think it's time to show Max and Theo Goonies, but Stephanie thinks it might be a little naughty for them.
I think it's a little inappropriate. We have to kind of preview that, I think, to decide if they can watch it. I have memories.
Stephanie,
no,
it's so
not.
Ready.
Okay, all right.
And also, I want to say
the real Neil just talked me into it.
you can also find a great article by Neil Potter in the newest issue of Rova. Is that correct, Neil?
Yeah, that was really exciting. Yeah, they reached out to me and they asked if I could put together a little piece for that. And so, that really, really cool magazine. I've never seen a magazine like that that's geared towards early 30s, late 30s, even in early 40s RVer. So
a new generation of RV enthusiasts, and we embrace that totally. So
Neil, we can't wait to have you back again to get some more great content from the Pacific Northwest. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.